Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. Today I'm joined by Elaine Johnston, entrepreneur, podcast host, content creator, and style coach. She helps people show up with confidence, clarity, and a spark of creativity by blending strategy with personal style. In part one, we'll dive into Elaine's journey, how she discovered the power of style, why it matters in building trust and connection, and what her personal evolution can teach all of us. Elaine, welcome to the show. So excited to have you here.
Hello. Yes, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
And talking about style, you are looking very stylish, unlike me, just with a t-shirt. Elaine.
Hey, that's okay.
Right? You've got such an interesting background, marketing, storytelling, style. What first sparked your passion for helping people align their presence with their message?
Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's been just this common red thread throughout my entire journey, whether it's been business or my personal life. Ever since I can remember, the two things that I've always been drawn to is fashion and writing. And even when I was a kid, like up until fifth grade, I had to wear a uniform at school. But I remember on Fridays, we could wear like our school t-shirt and jeans. So I would always spruce it up and have like a fun long sleeve shirt to show some creativity or like my personality through jewelry and stuff like that. And then I even remember being in high school and my parents had a season where financially it was kind of hard. And I didn't want people to know that we were struggling financially. So I would literally write in a journal my outfits for every day. So I wouldn't wear the same thing twice. And I would figure out how I could like mix and match different things. And it taught me to be creative with limitations and really working with what you have. And then with writing, whenever I was 15, I started my first blog and I had no idea what I was doing. I don't even remember what it was called other than the fact it was like .wordpress.com. I knew nothing about SEO or anything like that. But it was just a personal diary that I just wanted to try out. I knew a couple of people who had some blogs and I was like, I've always had a passion for writing. So I just started there. And then it's just quickly evolved over the last 10 years specifically with work.
Dude, that's so awesome. I love that you said, you know, you started with journaling about the different outfits. So those constraints and those things that keep us limited helps us be really creative, right? When the first iPhone was introduced and you could only do certain things, people got really creative and they created some amazing applications. So I see the same thing. But then you also put yourself into the pace of doing the work, of journaling down. And when blogging was available, you're like, hey, here's a better way for me to blog or talk about the things that I'm going through. I don't have to carry this book around. I can just jump online and do that. Did you always see style as a form of communication? Because that's what it sounded like to me.
Absolutely. It's always been a way to share your character, your personality, your values. I often say that your outfit speaks before you do. And so it's often the first thing that people notice, as much as we don't like to admit it. But it is the first thing that people notice, especially in business and networking and conferences and all this stuff. And it's how you carry yourself. And you can learn a lot just by looking at the way that somebody, you know, styles their hair or does their makeup or, you know, how they layer their clothes and stuff. And it tells a story.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm remembering all the times for the past 3 years, I've been wearing the same polo shirt and same jeans. And so much so, like, I didn't realize what I was doing, but what I did is, like, I just wanted to eliminate thinking about what I'm going to wear today. Even though I have a ton of clothes in my closet, but I was not style, you know, I was just very monotone. So much so that my wife decided that we did not need this maroon-colored rug in the living room because she got sick of that color, seeing it not me. So we got rid of that. But I was just told by my coach just about a month and a half ago, and he's like, Junaid, I think you've overplayed that card of wearing the same jersey. It's not doing anything for you. You need to spruce it up. So start wearing coats and jackets and shirts. And people are like, wait, where does this guy come from? Right. So yeah. I really wish that I discovered or, you know, even followed through the journey of style that you've been playing the game for a longer time to learn more. So I've got a lot of catch up to do for sure.
But it's a fun journey, and it's like creating that identity of who do you want to be? What values do you want to, you know, when what is the first message that you want to send out to the world, and just really like curating that in your style. And it's fun because it's an evolution and it changes, and you're not stuck to one style or aesthetic for the rest of your life, and it's okay to change.
I agree. I totally agree. And I was trying to follow the greats like Mark Zuckerberg and Steve Jobs because they wore the same thing. But I don't know if they wore the same thing every single day. Who knows?
Right.
We'll have to go find them. Now, talk to me about how did content creation and podcasting play into your journey as you're growing up and coming through this space?
Yeah. So like I said, I started my blog when I was 15. And, you know, started writing in college. I wrote for the Odyssey, and then with business started writing. And in 2018, my husband and I started Reckless Media, which is our media production and podcast production company. And in 2018, we actually started our first podcast together before we started the business.
Yeah.
And we no longer have that specific podcast that we started, but we had ran that show for like 3 or 4 years. Mm. And we've had multiple podcasts along the way. But I remember in like October of 2018, our good mutual friend, Heather Parody, shout out to Heather. Yeah. I remember her saying, you know, she was really getting into podcasting and doing her interviews. And she came to me and she was like, I've read your stuff and I want you to write my show notes. At the time, she was like, I don't like writing. This is not something I enjoy, but I know you enjoy it. And it gives you, you know, another opportunity to step into the podcasting space outside of what we were already doing.
Yeah.
And kind of one thing led to another. She had a guest on her show who was like, who does your show notes? And so we hopped on a call and they were like, this is awesome. What else do you do? And I was like, well, my husband does audio editing for podcasts. And he's like, okay, let's get on another call. And then one thing led to another. And then I remember in 2020, the pandemic happened.
Yes.
And that really skyrocketed our business because everybody was home. Everybody was doing podcasts and meeting online. And, you know, our industry that we had started with was very entrepreneurial based, financial, all of that. And then it actually kind of evolved into helping addiction recovery and behavioral health facilities and really sharing their message. And so we've hopped along different industries because our current podcast is Cryptids Across the Atlas, and it's about cryptids. It's Bigfoot, Sasquatch, all of the fun things that may or may not exist, but being able to tell fun stories through a creative lens, but then also helping our clients, you know, whether it's more serious topics and helping them convey that story and those experiences to help, you know, their community.
No, that's really powerful because as you've delved into your journey and, you know, these connections, you know, like you said, shout out to Heather. She's amazing. And she helped us find ourselves through that pandemic. Like I give a lot of credit to her for helping us come out of our shells. Like I did not speak on camera at all before this. I was just an audio podcast person, but then hanging out in those rooms helped me come out of shell and, you know, gave us the permission. So I'm really great to hear the story of, you know, where you started, where you were, and how all of these things come together. Now, one thing that you often say is style is more than clothes. It's about presence and confidence. Can you unpack that for us? Because and there's a lot of truth into that, but maybe some people need a little more history, a little more lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So when it comes to confidence, it's really just knowing who you are, knowing what you stand for, knowing your values, the thing that you really truly hold, you know, dear, closest to you. And whenever, no matter what clothes you put on, it doesn't really matter the aesthetic or the style or what type of clothes you're wearing, but it's what is that message that you want to send out to the world? What is that confidence? You know, are you really into, you know, the arts and creativity, and that shows up in your clothes? Or, you know, are you a very organized, rigid, you know, scheduled person? So you have a more minimal closet. And it's really just being confident in your skin, being confident in who you are first, and then letting that shine through your clothes.
Now, you're absolutely right. And we need to be confident in what we're wearing, right? And we are sometimes unaware of what we look like to others, right? Something that I am very annoyed of is how my kids stay in pajamas all day long, even going outside. Yeah. And I've seen, you've probably seen people go outside in pajamas. I'm like, dude, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why are you in this state? Why can't you change? But it's really important to have that outlook or have the awareness of how are you showing up. And as professionals, you know, it's a much bigger say. Students, college kids, totally fine. But as a professional, as somebody who is creating content or showing up on camera as the business thing, I think it's really important to spruce up that style and show up confidently. Because again, when you do that, it just gives you more of a confidence. I'm out of words.
Yeah. No, you're good. It's funny because I remember during the pandemic days when we were hopping on Zooms with our companies and our jobs, we were all probably wearing pajama pants, but our top was very professional because we wanted to show up in a professional way, but we were still comfortable. You just couldn't see it on camera.
Yeah, I agree. There's probably a ton of truth to that. And I've seen Mr. Wonderful do that on his on his calls all the time.
Yeah.
Now, Elaine, what happens when style and strategy don't align?
When they don't align, I really like that question because when they don't align, it can hurt your message. It can hurt your values. It can hurt really whatever you are trying to put out into the world, whatever message you are trying to share. If your style and your strategy don't align with that, it confuses your audience. It confuses your clients, your community, the people that you're trying to show up for. And so being able to convey that message through your clothes, and that, you know, style is a strategy, and being able to convey that in a way that makes sense for your community, that makes sense for your clients, that when it doesn't align, people have a hard time trusting you. They have a hard time believing in your message, because if you're not aligned with it, then how can you expect somebody else to be aligned with it?
Wow. That's a really powerful statement. If your style doesn't align with who you are, then how can other people align with the message that you're sharing? Mm-hmm. Right? And it's I think that's really powerful, because it brings to the fact that, yes, people say don't judge a book by a cover, but guess what we're doing the first 3 seconds that we meet somebody? We judge the book by the cover. So it's really, really important. Now,
it's kind of like that 3 second hook in content creation.
Yes, exactly. I think it's very valid in content creation, and it's valid in when people show up on calls or on video, right? It totally matters. Mm-hmm. Now, do you see common struggles clients have when showing up online? Is it something that they struggle with a lot, and how do you help them?
One of the biggest struggles I hear all the time is when it comes to, and this may not necessarily be a style thing, but when it comes to your messaging, it's so easy to all the time, you know, if you truly believe in your intention and your story and your messaging, it's easy to talk with somebody over coffee sharing that. But as soon as there's a camera, they freeze. They're like, I don't know what my message is. I don't know what I do, even though they live and breathe it all day, every day. But just having a camera makes people uncomfortable. And I think with the push with TikTok several years ago, that helped a lot of people because it lowered the barrier of entry, because you no longer have to have these fancy cameras. You can just have your phone, and you know, everybody has one. It's in everybody's pocket, and we were able to connect. And I also feel like during 2020 and 2021, when more people were online, that helps people be more comfortable, because that was the only way you could show up. But that is one of the biggest things of, like, there's just something that we just have a hard time, like, connecting with, staring, you know, at our own face back in the camera.
Yes.
And then something else that I hear a lot of clients say is like, well, how's my hair? Like, do I look okay? And all that stuff. I'm like, that doesn't matter, because you're sharing your story. People aren't connecting with the polished outfit or the hair. People are connecting with you. And so that outfit is that 3-second hook. But whenever you have them in, it's like, okay, like, here is your story. And so, like, not worrying about how you look on camera when you know that you're showing up with integrity.
You're so right. It's important to have that message down pat. And one of the reasons that people are scared to say what they're going to say is because we're not used to looking at ourselves 24 hours a day, right?
Yeah.
As people who grew up, you know, we see others more than we see ourselves. Unless you're standing in front of the mirror all day long, you only see everything else, right? You might want to set up initially, and then that's why they ask me, like, hey, how does my hair look? Because I can't see it. Like, well, if you can't see it, then you shouldn't worry about it. But regardless, you know, it also takes practice, right? You didn't get really good at this just by just turning on the camera, right? It took you a ton of time. It took you a ton of time trials and errors, right? It takes a ton of time. Just like a one-year-old kid just is getting started to, you know, try to run or, you know, try to walk. Same thing goes for literally anybody trying to get in front of the camera. You need to spend the time. You need to do more practice.
Absolutely. And I feel like that is something that we have to tell clients all the time, is just pull out your phone, just record. It doesn't have to be uploaded. Nobody has to see it. Yeah. But just that practice of just showing up and just sharing your story. And I feel like over time, that is part of where you gain that confidence, at least being in front of the camera, because you have practiced. And I think it's funny, because a lot of times when it comes to social media, people are like, oh, it's a highlight reel, it's polished, but there's a lot of practice that goes into that. And it's over time, sure, you can show up and it's easy, but most people, it doesn't come natural to, like, the very first video you ever record. Yeah. I remember whenever Periscope first came out and doing lives, I was so scared of doing lives. Like, I was like, what do I talk about? Are people interested in it?
Yeah.
And like I said, like, with TikTok and everything, that kind of helped, because it became more natural. It became more everywhere. And now, like, it's funny, because I think it's a joke when you see, like, influencers out in the wild, but how much confidence does that person have when they're sitting, you know, in a restaurant or riding the subway to work and they're filming? And it may be funny, they may be doing, you know, silly dance moves, but it's like, there's a level of confidence
of
showing up, and they may be scared doing it. You may not even realize, like, they are nervous as heck doing that publicly, but that's really good practice.
It is. You're absolutely right, Elaine, because I still struggle doing that. And I've done 700 podcast episodes.
Yep.
Right? Yep. So if I'm struggling with doing these in the wild videos, thinking about what is everybody else going to say if I'm recording a video, it takes a level of confidence. It takes a level of not caring about what the naysayers, you know, just doing the work. And you're absolutely right. I still have not done a 30-day video challenge. Right, that's something that I've pushed on others. I'm like, hey, you got to do a 30-day video challenge to get comfortable. But I have not done that myself, where I'm just talking to myself.
Yep.
And so I need to bring myself and do that myself. Mm-hmm. Now, Elaine, you talk about bringing a spark of creativity. What does that look like in practice? Because I think I could use a little bit of that.
Yeah, so it's really just leaning into those childlike passions, those childlike interests. And it's funny. So my favorite holiday is Halloween. I love dressing up. Like I love fall. Like I love everything about the season. And I bring a level of that with my podcast because I'm talking about spooky things and campfire stories and things that may not exist, but they're really fun. And sure, there's serious topics about it. There's the educational pieces and stuff, but bringing back those things because whenever my husband and I first started dating, I didn't know what a cryptid was because Mothman was like his favorite book growing up. And I'm like, what is that? But I'm like, but I know what Bigfoot is. But finding that tie in, finding that thing of like, well, I love Halloween, I love spooky stuff, and this goes along with that. And so sure, your podcast may not be about cryptids or weird things like that. You may have a very serious business podcast, and that's perfect. You can still find those things that you loved as a child to bring through that, whether it's the style of speaking, how you decorate your space. A lot of serious entrepreneurs, their background is their miniature card collection and like really fun things in the background that shows your personality, that shows that spark of creativity. If even though I'm talking about serious topics and helping people with serious business topics and industries and everything, there's still that level of personality and letting that shine through no matter what it is that you do.
You're absolutely right, because there's so many layers to our personalities. And sometimes we just focus on, oh no, business, business, business. But no, the hobbies is what connects you to the people. You know, when you bring up those small topics or topics that you're really passionate about, that's when you build that deeper connection with other people around you. And you'll find that when you're in a place, and if you talk about something that you're both passionate about, you can talk for a much longer time as opposed to if you were to talk about what they did for real life, you know, in their life. I had a very weird interaction on the bike ride just this past week. And I'm going on this ride and I'm talking to the other riders and I'm talking about, you know, how long they've been biking for. And we talked for a much longer time. But then when I asked this gentleman what he did for work, and he said, oh, I do this, 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 this. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of fun. I don't have anything as fun what I do. And then they probably took it as an offense because I say, oh, I'm a podcaster, right? But if I had just continued the conversation about cycling and how much love they have for cycling, I think we would have built a better connection from that conversation. Elaine, for
Yeah, and I
you,
think
yeah.
that I was just gonna say, I feel like that is the power of storytelling, of no matter what the topic is, there is always that connection that you have with somebody else. And I really love that you shared that story because how many times do we let moments like that pass us by where we could have had a deeper connection had we just, pushed in a little bit deeper? But I love that story.
Thank you. Now, Elaine, where do you personally find creative inspiration? I know you love the seasons, you love the cryptics. Like there's so many different levels, but how do you find creative inspiration that helps you to create more content?
So I listen to a lot of podcasts, which is funny enough, but it's whenever we started our cryptids podcast, we were looking up podcasts that we liked. So one of the podcasts that we listen to is Lore by Aaron Mankey. It's very historical, but there's some entertainment elements to it. And then we also listen to things like Mr. Ballin and just hearing different ways of storytelling, whether it's more scripted or more off the cuff, and just being inspired by similar content and really even finding content that doesn't necessarily align with the stuff that we want to create, but being a consumer of the stuff that you want to create. And I know that there is a balance because if all you do is consume, you're never going to create, but finding that balance of hearing how other people show up and finding elements, again, even if it's not in the same industry, but finding elements of, yeah, I could use that, or I really like that take, or how can I, you know, use that in my storytelling? And so a lot of my inspiration for storytelling and podcast and even topic-based is from podcasting and hearing other people's approach on even how they write their stories or how they edit their podcast and, you know, different ways of how they find guests for their podcast. Like, I'm super intrigued by that.
Yeah, that's really powerful, because the more good stuff you put inside of your head, guess what? You're going to get more great ideas, and you're now then able to integrate that with your own personality, with your own things. And like, something that I've been doing with my team is we're looking at the Diary of a CEO with Stephen Bartlett. I'm like, hey, what kind of content are they creating? How are they positioning their titles and their SEO and their descriptions? How can we learn from that and apply it? Because something that I learned over at Podcast Movement, and there's a gentleman at rss.com, and he educates others. It's like every single word that goes into your title, there's a level and weight to it. So make sure that you're utilizing them really creatively. And what you shared here is really powerful, because the more we consume good stuff, the more creative we can be, because you're no longer just a consumer. And oh my God, you probably do this, because I do this all the time. Anytime I watch a good Instagram short or a reel or video, I'm saving that. I'm transcribing that. I'm like, okay, how can I use this content to create my own version of it? Because I resonate with that.
Mm-hmm. And then even from like a fashion standpoint, Pinterest is my best friend. I'm always looking up, like, how are people styling different things? How are people layering different things? And so even like with podcasting and business and all that, it's really just consuming podcasts. But when it comes to style, Pinterest, I'm constant every week, I'm looking up different things and saving different styles. And even if it's not like a style that I would necessarily wear, but finding inspiration of like, wow, I never would have thought piecing those two things together.
You know, you're so right. It's unless we see something happening or somebody else doing, you're not going to try it, because it's not top of your mind, and they've done the work to, you know, experiment with it, and you're like, oh, that looks pretty good, let me give it a try, and guess what, it looks amazing. Elaine, your journey really shows how style and strategy aren't separate, because they are so interconnected. Thank you so much for coming on. I can't wait to go deeper in part two with you.
Thank you.
Guys, in part two, we're getting tactical. Elaine will share her best tools and strategies for showing up with confidence, blending story with style, and building an unforgettable presence. I totally forgot. Elaine, where can people connect with you so they can learn more about what you do and how you teach people about style?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram @_ElaineJohnston or on YouTube and TikTok as well.
Perfect. We'll be sure to include the links in the show notes. And thank you so much again for coming. We'll see you in the next episode. Guys, it's been a really awesome chat with Elaine. In part two, we're going to get tactical. She'll share her best tools and strategies for showing up with confidence, blending story with style, and building an unforgettable presence. Stick around. It's going to be a powerful one.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.